Ben Nichols, the Smith of Sportsnet.ca, joins us on the line now. And Ben, I was just talking about Richard Urania, and obviously big home run last night, his first in the major leagues. And I was saying it's hard to believe this guy's just 21 years old, and you can kind of dream on him a little bit, can't you?
Yeah, you can. And I think that when you look at the power he showed last night, that hasn't been a huge part of his game coming up through the minor leagues. But he definitely has that range at shortstop, the ability to make a lot of different plays out there for you. So I think that he's someone to keep an eye on, along with guys like Teoscar Hernandez, Danny Jansen, of course, not up with the Blue Jays, but that tier of prospects that's trickling its way up to the major leagues.
And obviously September numbers are always difficult to kind of figure out because, you know, some guys have great Septembers and it doesn't translate. And it's nice to have these guys up here and at least give them big league experience. And Teoscar Hernandez is a guy you just mentioned, and it's been a tough go for him so far, but he does have major league experience in the past. I mean, how much do you kind of read into to what you're seeing here in September? Obviously, positive things are a lot better than negative things, but how do you kind of take it all in right now?
Yeah, I think that when it comes to any of these players, we're talking about sampling of 5, 6, 7 games at this point at the most. And so I'm not reading too much into it. I think that as the month continues and as we get a longer look at these guys, we will be able to get a better sense of, hey, is there something going on with Teoscar Hernandez's swing? Does he make adjustments? Is major league pitchers pitch him differently? But I think at this point, it hasn't been a great start, but also it hasn't been much of a start at all in the sense that he's only had 15 or 20 at-bats. And at this point, I'm inclined to believe that there are better things in store based on what he showed in the minors.
Ben Nicholson Smith of Sportsnet.ca, baseball editor there, joins us here on Sportsnet today. I'm Rob Wong here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We saw a nice night for Jose Bautista last night, a double and a home run. That's been pretty few and far between so far in this second half, and it's been a pretty ugly season, as we know, for Jose. And I've kind of asked a bunch of people about this recently, sort of what the future holds for Bautista. I think most people are of the opinion that he's probably not coming back to the Blue Jays next season. But as far as the future holds and the prospects for him, I mean, what can you kind of see from him maybe moving forward on what kind of deal he could potentially sign this offseason with another team?
Yeah, and I think it will be another team, Rob, because as you said, it's hard to imagine Bautista coming back to this Blue Jays lineup. When you look at Kendrys Morales taking up DH, you look at Steve Pierce, their presumed left fielder at this point, and you can't put Steve Pierce at first base because you have Justin Smoke there. So I just don't see where you would put Jose Bautista. I mean, you could put him in right field again. I just don't see that happening. When they have Teoscar Hernandez and Anthony Alford making their way up through the minors, and when they need to become a better defensive team, they need to become a better team on the bases, I just don't see how that lines up with Jose Bautista. So as for where that leaves him, I think he's out there on the free agent market. I think he's likely looking at a one-year deal because I can't imagine that teams are going to be lining up to make a multi-year commitment to a player coming off what's pretty clearly a down year for him. So I think one-year deal, and I think American League team, although his versatility could allow him to market himself as a versatile multi-position guy that could interest National League teams as well.
It's kind of interesting because if you just look at his stats on the whole, I mean, they are not good. He had an incredible May, and it looked like, you know, he was going to have another Jose Bautista-like season, but it has not been the case. As far as we know, you know, he's not hurt. It's not like he's dealing with anything major. I mean, he continues to play all these games here in September, but, you know, you look at some of the advanced stats, whether it's, you know, estimated swing speed, it's much down. It's a lot down from where it was, you know, in previous years. So it's clear that the skills are sort of declining at this point. I mean, is he going to be this moving forward, you think, a below average offensive outfielder that's not good in the outfield either? I mean, what kind of value could he potentially provide a team? Is he a regular everyday player anymore?
The way he's played this year, I don't think teams would view him as that, but he has a long track record. So there's the possibility that a team would dream on him and say, hey, this is a guy who 2 years ago, and it seems like such a long time ago for so many different reasons, but in 2015, he had 40 home runs. And even last year, there were stretches where he looked really good. So even if his production this year, objectively, has not been good, he has not been a good baseball player compared to the standards of Major League Baseball, but he has been in the very recent past. So you could imagine a team saying, hey, we'll bring him into spring training. We're going to give him a couple months to see what he can do. And if it works out and he bounces back, great. And if it doesn't, well, it was only a one-year deal and it only cost us for argument's sake, $8 or $10 million, and you can move on. So I think that's the kind of fit that he would be looking at. But as we saw last offseason, these things can take on a life of their own, and sometimes the unpredictable ends up happening and surprising us all.
Ben Nicholson-Smith, baseball editor at Sportsnet.ca, our guest here on Sportsnet today. I'm Rob Wong here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We saw another scoreless inning from Tom Kohler last night, who's looked pretty good, Ben, since joining the bullpen. And it's kind of interesting because this guy has been a starter in his pretty much his entire major league career. And here he's getting an opportunity out of the pen. And heading into next year, I'm not sure exactly where he kind of fits in everything because, you know, we've seen the emergence of guys like Ryan Tepera and Danny Barnes and, you know, Dominic Leone. And now you have Carlos Ramirez, who just continues to, you know, not give up earned runs. I mean, heading into next season, is Kohler a guy that's going to fight for a rotation spot, or do you think they might actually have something here with him in the pen?
I think that if he's back with the Blue Jays, he'll have to end up going back to them through free agency, because to me, he's someone they need to non-tender this offseason, just right, based on the fact that he's making $5, $6 million this year. You add on the innings he has in the majors, say he's making 6 or 7 next year. Probably too much. So you're looking at a free agent, and I think that if he's willing to come back to the Blue Jays as a reliever, then that would be pretty intriguing. I mean, we've seen so many of these conversions work out, whether it's Bud Norris or Joe Blanton. The Blue Jays had their own success story with Gavin Floyd a couple of years ago. I think that it's a pretty proven template at this point, where you take guys who are mid to back of the rotation starters, you put them in a setup role, and they can pull it off. I mean, Brandon Morrow is doing that same thing with the LA Dodgers now, and he's even giving them a bit more quality as far as strikeouts and velocity. So I think that with Kohler, if I'm a major league team, I would definitely have interest just based on what he's showing in relief. But as you said, Rob, they have a lot of options emerging when it comes to that middle relief section of the bullpen.
And, you know, Carlos Ramirez was a guy I just mentioned, and it seems like people are really intrigued by this guy. And how can you not be? Like I said, he hasn't given up an earned run this year, a converted outfielder, and a guy that's just burst onto the scene this year. It's just, you know, really, you know, elevated his game and, you know, just come out of nowhere, essentially, to be this incredible right-handed reliever. I mean, what's kind of the scuttlebutt around this guy with people that you talk to around the organization?
Well, I think that there's got to be some level of surprise for a pitcher who really wasn't on people's radars very recently, and he's come up and continued this amazing breakout. So at this point, I think this is where September becomes a little more interesting, and you're able to have a look at guys like this and just see if they can sustain it for another few weeks. And if he does, then he could really position himself to the point where heading into next year, he's a factor in that bullpen. And of course, as we've seen with the Blue Jays and so many other teams, the way they build bullpens now is not to find 6 or 7 of their top guys and go from there. You need 15 guys to get through a season at the big league level. I mean, even as we speak, the Blue Jays have 12 in their bullpen. So the need for these guys is near limitless. And I think that in Ramirez's case, if he can show the Blue Jays something now, then whether it's opening day roster 2018 or sometime next year, he'd be very well positioned to come up and help the big league club again.
Blue Jays and Tigers this afternoon at 4 o'clock here on the Sportsnet Radio Network and Sportsnet 590. The Fan pregame gets going at 3:30 with Mike Wilner, Ben Nicholson-Smith of Sportsnet.ca, our guest here on Sportsnet today. I'm Rob Wong. Brett Anderson making the start today, Ben, and, you know, he's been impressive so far in his couple of starts with the Blue Jays, and this is obviously a guy that's been on this franchise's radar for quite some time. I know I've been, a proponent of bringing him on maybe several years ago. It's been a tough go for him, maybe the last little while, and especially this past year, or this season, I should say, when he was with the Chicago Cubs, but getting an opportunity here with the Blue Jays, and this is another guy that is set to be a free agent next, I believe it's next season or going into this offseason. You can give me the info on that, but still a guy that's making his mark so far with the Blue Jays. What kind of prospects do you see here from Brett Anderson, and does he actually have a future with this club?
Yeah, you wonder, and he is a guy who will be a free agent after this season, so could be 3 more weeks in a Blue Jays uniform, could be the beginning of a longer tenure. And I think that what he's shown so far is that he can still get ground balls. And if you're left-handed and you're getting ground balls, that's a pretty good start. So I think that health has always been the issue for him. Even this season, health has been an issue for Brett Anderson. And what he's showing now is he's able to take the ball and provide 6 innings or so. So there's real value there. I think that there's plenty of reason to believe that he's worthy of a look. Now, am I going to suggest that this guy is worthy of a major league contract next year and a guaranteed roster spot? I don't know if we're quite at that point yet, but certainly he's someone that if he's willing to sign, let's say, an incentive-laden minor league deal along the lines of the one the Blue Jays gave Matt Latos in spring training of this year, then Brett Anderson could be a really interesting piece to take another look at in spring training, because when you look at the Blue Jays' needs heading into next year, I think that starting rotation depth is pretty high on that list.
Before I let you go, Ben, can't talk about the Blue Jays organization without talking about the top prospects in the system right now. I mean, it seems like all year we've been talking about Vladimir Guerrero, Bo Bichette, and even some of the other guys you mentioned, like Danny Jansen and Ryan Barucki and, you know, Carlos Ramirez now as well. But when it comes to Guerrero and Bichette, I mean, they're getting a lot of praise here as the minor league season is over. We saw them, you know, co-champions in the Florida State League as well and celebrating on the field the other night. But I guess my question is, where do these guys start next year? I mean, this is an organization that has been pretty clear in not wanting to rush guys. They are pretty patient with what they want to do with their prospects. But after what we saw Guerrero and Bichette do this past year in high A with Dunedin, is there a chance that these guys could start in double A next year, or are they going to start off next season back in Dunedin, you think?
Well, the safe play and the one to shield these guys against the possibility that they get overhyped and potentially overexposed will be to send them back to Dunedin and let them dictate the timeline for their climb through the minor leagues. But I think there is a chance that they go to double A, and we see spring training as a chance to assess major league players primarily, but a lot of the time this is a great chance to assess minor leaguers, see where their progress is at. And you can bet that the Blue Jays player development people will have a very close eye on Vladdy and on Bo Bichette and on all of these guys making their way through the system, Max Pentecost among them, Danny Jansen, as you said, just to see where they are as far as their development, as far as what challenges they need to face, what challenges they might not quite be ready for, because it's such a cool story. It's been so fun following these guys this season. At the same time, they're still teenagers. I mean, we still haven't seen them struggle in the professional ranks. You have to assume that that's going to happen at some point. For some players, maybe it doesn't, but for 99% of players, it will happen. So you do wonder if the Blue Jays take the cautious route. Either way, though, these guys are among the best prospects in baseball, and it's going to be a lot of fun to see what they can do in 2018.
Yeah, it really will be, and considering how bad it has been at the major league level, fans are definitely looking for some sort of hope, and they're getting it right now with the minor league system. Thanks so much for jumping on today, Ben. Really appreciate it.
Anytime.